Okay, here we are at the fourth day of Sukkot, Tovshin Samachay, in the marvelous Sukkah of the Kremens. And we have a very restless Kohen with us who wants very much to get to the second of the public Birchas Kohanim. We have a less restless other Kohen here who looks perfectly happy just sitting around. So maybe they can cancel each other out a bit. And we'll try to get to work. Bad place to sit. And we were holding today on Daf Chof Amud Aleph. Right? Yeah. When we had gotten up to, let me just turn this thing on. Sorry, one moment here. Got to turn this on. All right, I'm not going to wait till it turns on. Okay, we're holding on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis by Tana Rabbanan, last line. Tana Rabbanan. Hamagdish nikeva le'olato ulepischo ula'ashamo osa temura. We haven't really discussed yet what the situation is where we use these types of nikeva. We had different examples in the Mishnahs and the Brises. We had a Magdish Nekeva for an Eila, a Magdish Nekeva for an Osham in the Mishnah. And then we discussed a Magdish Nekeva Lepischoi when we were trying to bring a Raya as to what Reb Elazar was beholding. So we brought a Raya to him from a Brisa. But we never did discuss what the status would be of that Nekeva in terms of making a Temura itself. There's the machlokas as to what the dinim of the vlad is and so on. But what about if I use the nekeva, I try to make a tumura out of it? We only talked about vlad. What would be the din about a siyas tumura?
It's the mother itself.
So-called mother. I mean, right. it's an illicit mother. Because it's a female. Not suitable for either Eila or Pesach or Asha. So the Tanakhama says that even though it's not suitable, it can still make a temura. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, no, depends what the case is. La'olata osa temura. We already saw that there was a difference by Magdish Nekeva Le'ayla than Magdish Nekeva for these other things. Because Magdish Nekeva Le'ayla, the shame Eila was chal, because as the Sabbat Josh mentions, it's a shayach on Ola Sa'uf. To have a nekeva. Mashenk in the other two cases, it shouldn't be, doesn't have the same kedusha. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, he's actually takes this pretty far, if you recall, because according to him, when something is not roi for the shame that it's dedicated to, the kedusha b'chlal isn't chal. And this is nothing to discuss in terms of tamura. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, now hold on a minute. When it comes to a naila, yes, it's a tamura, but when it comes to the nekeva that was set aside for a Pesach, or for an Asham there, it does not make a temura, because in order to make a temura, at least it needs to have a level of kedusha as a mechayev getting a mum in order to be paid at. And this doesn't even need a mum in order to be paid at, which means it does not have kedushat aguv, its body itself isn't kodosh. She'en lacha davar osa temura ela haro ala yistaev. I mean, you need at least that it should be kodosh insofar as needing to be left out the pasture to get a mum. Since these things do not even need a mum, what would be the need? What would be the possibility they're making it temura? Says Rebbe, you know, I can understand what Rebbe Shimon is saying when it comes to an asha, but I don't see what he's saying when it comes to a Pesach. Ein ani roeh dvarav shel Rabbi Shimon bePesach, because the din is that a motar haPesach is karev shlamim. So therefore, since shlamim and Pesach are interrelated, as we already saw, when we're talking about actually yesterday machlokes Abayev Rava about what the din would be aliba the Rabbi Shimon, whether polig or low polig, when it comes to the Pesach. Says Rebbe, that doesn't seem to me that Dvarav Shel Rebbe Shimon apply to Pesach, because a Moser Pesach anyway is brought as a garment Shalomim. Therefore, that this is at least as good as saying that the shame Eila Shayachan in a Nekeva, because the shame Shlomim is Lechatchila, Nekeva is fine. And therefore, every Pesach has in it, essentially, a element of Shlomim. Yeah, okay, I mean, that's true, but why does he agree with Asha? V'leima eina niro ed v'rav sh'rabi shimon ba'asham, po'lu mutar asham karev olam. I mean, you could make the same argument, really, by saying, look, I mean, if it's important to you what the din of the motar is, which was the money that was left over, that you were not going to use directly for the needs of this particular carbon. And that's your logic by Pesach. So the Pesach, the money that's left over, would have been a shlomim anyway. So this carbon is a female, which is fine for a shlomim, so why can't we say that it has kedushas aguf? You could have said the same thing about an asham. Money left over that was going to be used for an asham that isn't used is used instead for a carbon ayla. But you already said that a carbon ayla is okay if it's a nekeva, because you have at least shame or less nekeva on an oath. So, I mean, in the end, it all comes back to the ultimate possible usages of the motar, and over here, the ultimate possible usages allow for an nekeva on an asham, too. If Rebbe's ready to go for what it would be if, he can say the same thing about an asham. What would this be if it's motar asham? Would be an oila, and then in that case, a tamura would have been chal, so why can't this, he should have said the same thing? Ah, you know why? I'll tell you. Brilliant idea. Because Rebbe Sava Lakrabana. Rebbe agrees, he says, look, let's even say, okay, that Rebbe Shimon, 100%, is supposed to go to Motarot. And Motarot or an Ola. And an Ola could be a bird. You know, that's all very interesting. Except what kind of Ola does it go to?
It goes to an Ola Tzibur.
And Ola Tzibur can't make it tomorrow anyway. So, basically, if it can't make it tomorrow anyway, so where are you going to get to? You're going to say, well, this should have Kedushas Aguf, even if it does. And so it has Kedushas Aguf, but it can't make it tomorrow. That's all the Rebbe Shimon says. Ein Oza Tumura Ella. In this case, would not make it tomorrow. So therefore, Rebbe Sevelek Rabbana, in the Machlokas of Rebbe Elazar, the Amri Motarot L'Nidvat Tzibur Asli, Ein Tumura B'Tzibur. And therefore, he's not going to argue with Rabbi Shimon Shita when it comes to the Asha, Tmur of an Asha. Now, again, remember that we have been assuming all along, Gasal Gadate, that high in the time of the Rabbi Shimon, again, the old standby Sfora for why Rabbi Shimon would hold that in this case, that a Mafrish Nekeva Olato has Kedushat Aguf. The reason for this is why? Because Ika Shem Ola Ale, there is a Shem Ola on it because Gabe Ola Ta'ot, right? So in other words, since this type of carbon has a variant which is kosher as a Nekeva, therefore we're saying that this too would be kosher as a Nekeva. Now, so I have an interesting question for you. We have a case of a Kohen Gadol who has to bring a par. A par is a male. If he would dedicate a female, para, you're right, that there's no such thing as a parat Kohen Gadol, but there is a para duma. So, why can't...
You have to be very specific about that, though. Like, that in and of itself has its own...
Well, I mean, you're not bringing Olas Auf either, are you? I mean, you're saying it has a variant. So, I mean, it's also a variant. It's called a parat khatat. The parat khatat is a... It should also be enough that it should be chalas in a cave. This is really a wild question.
Would it have to be a kasher paraduma? Or could he just say that he wants to get and then have it checked out and it's not?
No, he's not using it for a paraduma. We're just saying that in a cave it is shayach to this type of carbon. So, what exactly are you talking about, sir? Parat chatat is kachi berekabai. What are you getting us confused for? Kachi berekabai. Remember, the paraduma is not a carbon. So what does Kachi Berakabayit have to do with it? Kachi Berakabayit, first of all, wouldn't even make a tumura. He wouldn't even make it for Kachi Berakabayit. What is that? It's completely irrelevant, your question. Okay, wait a second. Hold on. How about a case of a yochid who sets aside a male for a chatas? There is such a thing as a male of a chatas if that yochid would be a nasi, because an anasi brings a sa'ir instead of a sa'irara kisma. So couldn't we say that there exists a variant of this thing, which is a male? So then a male for a chata should also be good. So a yochid shifrish sa'ir l'sa'irato, it should get kedushat aguf, because there's such a thing as a sa'ir nasi, and vice versa. Let's say a nasi sets aside a sa'ira. It should also be good, because a yochid mafrish sa'ira. I mean, you can have a case of a yochid bringing a sa'ira for a karman chatat. That's a standard karmel chatat. So how come none of these cases came up before? How come it was only like the specific case of Mafresh and Kevel Yaila? That's the only case anybody thought of that that's going to work. Why is that? Ah, says the Gemara. Nah, come on. I mean, that's Anitre Gufininu. You can't say that a chatas of a nasi is a variant of a chatas of a yochid, or that a chatas of a yochid is a variant of a chatas of a nasi. These are two different types of people. I mean, you need to have the option as the person you are. You are chayev an ola. Can you bring an ola sa'ov? Yes, under certain circumstances. Let's say maybe you're too rich to bring an ola sa'ov for the dinners. You can only bring an ola sa'ov for these cases where it's all over your... So you can be mafker, all your money. And at that point, you can be chayev an ola sa'ov. But it's in your hands to become chayev an ola sa'ov. But over here, you've got two different people. You can't... cannot be brought by a non-Nasi, and an Nasira cannot be brought by a Nasi. So it isn't really an option, and therefore it's not a variation.
Can a Nasi not renounce his year?
It wouldn't help, because it would have to do with what he was chayva. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about something similar, in the inverse case, where he's appointed. Okay, but how about a case where he was chata ad shalonit mana? How about if he did his chet before he was a Nazi? Then they appoint him as a Nazi. Okay, so now he does have that variation. Because now if he would be chote, then he would be able to bring a zachar. So here you've got an interesting, nobody brought up that case before. So then if he's mafresh as sotir, then in that case, it should be kodesh. Because ilu chata hashta, if he would do a chet now, he would be able to bring a sotir. Yeah. But he wasn't chote. Now, I don't understand what your question is. But alo chata, and lo chayv b'sayer. Well, you can say the same thing about an olas ha'of. I mean, over here, the guy is not supposed to bring an olas ha'of. He's supposed to bring an olas behema. So what he's saying, well, but he could be put himself in a matzah, but that's not the same thing. It's not omed now to bring an olas ha'of. Ah, no, that's not true. Because Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Shita is the Tanan. If a guy says, according to the Tanakh, Kama, a guy says, I'm Chayav an Oila, he has to bring an Olas Behema, Stam Behema, Saras Behema, unless he specifies otherwise. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Shimon is going like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Omer, no. If you say Ola Stam, you can bring a Torah or a Ben Yonah also, which is a bird. So that means, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the overall rubric Ola includes birds. It's not that you have to make a special case to be chayav of a bird. Tanan hasa. How about the Mishnah that we're going to have later on? Hamagdish nichasav. Somebody says, all of my property should be kadosh. If there are behemot in that property, normally when a person is magdish his property, which includes his cars and his refrigerators, he's not sending it to the Mizbeach, obviously. He's sending it to the Beit HaKavod. That's the way that he normally thinks of that kind of charity. He's donating money to the Beit HaMikdash. But how about if there's animals that he also owns? And these animals, they may be tmimim, and he's sending them now to the Beit HaKavod. Well, the din is, if they had behemot that were huyot l'gabei mizbeach, had kosher animals that were tmimim, then some are male, some are female. And what's the din? So hayah behen behemah ruhuyah l'gabei mizbeach zecharim u'nekevot. Rabbi Eliezer omer zecharim yimachru l'tzorchei olot u'nekevot yimachru l'tzorchei shelamim. Look, you can't use the actual animal, because the animals belong to the Beit HaKavod. The Beit HaKavod can't be put on the Mizbeach. We don't have Kedushat Aguf. So what you do is you get the money to Beit HaKavod by selling them. And you use that money to buy the carbon that they would have been kosher for had they been given to the Mizbeach. So if it's a Zohar, it's given as a carbon. Or if it's an Akeva, it's given as a carbon Shlomi. Because we're assuming that overall his intent was to give to the Beit HaKavod.
And those animals that are sold can be given to the local neighborhood butcher. Right?
No.
No, there's a specific...
No, they're sold for that purpose.
Right.
So in other words, what we do is, what we do is we sell it for the purpose of a male for an ayla, a female for an akeva.
But do they have any kedusha on the animals
for shlamim. After they're sold.
After they're sold.
That's what they're sold for a real carbon.
Yeah, but the animal after it's sold, does it have any residual, does it have any kedusha?
Yeah, it's sold for kedusha. Sold to be used for them as bail.
Oh, sold to be used.
Somebody else can use it.
Yeah,
in other words, a guy who has to bring carbon ayla, we offer it to him. We're selling ayla, so we're selling shlamim.
Oh, right, incorporated, right, yeah, yeah.
Okay. And we have to do that because otherwise, remember, we have a klal that something that is roi to the mizbeach can't escape. On the other hand, the mizbeach division of Hegdash can't take things away from the Berech Abayit. I mean, the Berech Abayit's got to realize their money in this, so therefore the Berech Abayit sells it to people that are going to bring it to the mizbeach. That way everybody's happy.
It's an option. They have an option they can exercise.
Are there any
limitations?
No, it's not an option. He's got no choice. An option that generally offers you an option.
Are there any limitations in what Derek Abayak does with the money that it receives?
No, it's theirs entirely.
Entirely.
No.
It doesn't
have to. Fine. So the man, as Richie was asking, the money, Yiplum Shanachasim, the Derek Abayak. That's like everything else. It just goes to Derek Abayak. Derek Abayak does whatever they want with it. Rabbi Yoshua says, well, why do we do that? I say if they have male animals, they should be brought as olot, because Rabbi Yoshua holds that even though he gave overall his property to Hegdash, he certainly did not have in mind to give a behemoth that's roi for the Mizbeach to the Berech Abayit. And so his intent initially is to give directly to the Mizbeach, and the Nekevot, what we do with the Nekevot, is Yimachru Letzarchei Shlamim. They are not brought directly, but we bring their money. We use the money to bring Olot. We'll see what this is all about in a minute. And the rest of the Nechasim indeed are meant to be given to the Berech Abayit. So in other words, what happened over here is, we assume, person is not thinking. He's talking about, okay, look, you know, the animals go to Hegdash. You know what you do with animals. Well, what you do with animals, basically, is you bring them as a carbon ayla, because that's the choshev, a carbon. I mean, a man, he's not interested in bringing carbonus. He's interested in giving all his money away to Hegdash. It's a completely different frame of mind. So his frame of mind, therefore, even though I hold Rabbi Yeshua, that it goes to the Mizbeach. I'm not thinking of shlamim where I'm going to sit and eat the meat and so on and so on. I'm thinking I want the whole thing to go to Hegdash. That means that it's an ayla, it should be kolel la'ashem. Well, it's got a minor problem. It's an akeva. And I can't use an akeva. Okay, fine. So what I can do is, we can realize the money from it by selling it and using the money for a korban ayla. But I can't use the animal itself.
Like to buy mail for korban ayla.
Huh?
To buy a male.
To buy a male. Exactly. I need a male in order to be Yotze, where my underlying gift is. Follow. The rest goes to the Berech Abayit. Says Reb Chiya Bar Ava to Reb Yochanan, I don't get it. According to Rabbi Yoshua, who says that the Zecharim have brought themselves as Olot, Zecharim Atzmam Yikaravu Olot, how exactly do these Nikevot get to be brought as a korban shlamim, because you're saying we should sell them. What are we selling them for? We're selling them for shlamim, because, I mean, what else are we going to sell them for? We can't sell them for olos. We sell them for shlamim, and we use the money for olos. How the heck can we sell these animals for shlamim if you're telling me that the intent was to give them as olos? So then that's the same thing as being makdish, a nekeva for an ayla. And in that case, we said earlier, you got to wait till it gets a mum, and so how are you going to bring it as a shlamim? Isn't it? I mean, it's coming from a kedusha dechuya because it was meant to be an ayla, and it can't be an ayla. Fine. So there's no way to sell it now as a shlamim. Hamikar kedusha dechuya kaasya, or another way of asking this, l'shnachrina, says Reb Chiya Bar Ava to Reb Yochanan. Wait a second. If Rabbi Yoshua says the charim atzvam yikarvu olot, where did he get that from? I mean, obviously, what he understands is that even though the guy was giving away all of his money, he wasn't thinking in terms necessarily of the Bedek HaBayit. He was thinking of whatever is supposed to be put on them as Bayak, let them handle it somehow. Okay? In other words, he was thinking about all of us. So, La Memra, the Kedusha Taguv, Akdashino. In other words, you're saying that the man's intent was to give it Kedusha Taguv. So then, how can you sell animals that have Kedusha Taguv without a mum? You're saying, sell them L'tzorchei Shlamim. I mean, obviously they don't have a mover. You can't sell for L'tzorchei Shlamim.
And once they have a mover,
you can't sell for L'tzorchei Shlamim. So how, I understand. So how can you sell them? If the Kaddish Kedush Zaguf, you can't sell an animal that's Kedush Zaguf without a mum.
I thought we said that was only because of the Drabanon.
No. That's a B'raisa. It doesn't have pigeon before.
But how is it you can assume that you could use this animal for a different type of corpulence? If he's giving it stone,
that was the first lashon. Stone. How can you use it? It's from a kedusha dechuya. You were saying, forget about how can you use it. How can you sell it, Bichlal?
You can't trade since it's fitting for the mezbeach. You can't switch it over for a different type of korban. You can't say no. Instead of just bringing it all the way to
no, that for sure not. You're not allowed to switch a korban.
If a guy donates his stam to Bethek HaBayit.
As a matter of fact, the Rambam includes that in Hilchos Temura. Not to try to switch Kedusha of a carbon to another carbon.
If a guy stam deliberately donates it for Bethek HaBayit.
Yeah.
And this is particular animal is
not Bethek HaBayit. The case going to Rav Yeshua is for the Mizbeah.
That is for the Mizbeah. It says it's fitting for this type of shalom as opposed to Olah.
Omar Lay, so he explained to him, I'll tell you. According to Rabbi Yeshua, if Rabbi Yeshua ends up holding like Rabbi Shimon, that would explain why it doesn't need a mum and why it's sellable. Because if Rabbi Yeshua sells like Rabbi Shimon, the Yom HaKol Midi Dol Chazal Al Gufi Lo Nacht Le Kedusha Laguf. Remember, we had yesterday in the Mishnah that according to Rabbi Shimon, anything which is itself unsuitable for use, like the Nekeva for the Yashar, doesn't get a Kedusha Saguf at all. And therefore, it's just sold. That's what Rabbi Shimon said in the Mishnah. Why can't you sell without a mum? What does it need a mum for? Since it's not usable. If it isn't usable, that's as big a mum as you can get. So the very fact that it's in a keva makes it a mum. So if he agrees with that sheet of Rabbi Shimon, you don't have a problem, do you? Because it's timacher v'loba mum. And did we not say, v'amrinam, time at Rabbi Shimon, we explain Rabbi Shimon's reasoning, that kivan de lo chazya, the keva la sham, lo nakta le kedushat aguf. Since you can't use a nekeva for an asham anyway, why would you need to wait till it gets a mum? Just sell it, because that is its mum. It's unusable. Says the Gemara, that's not going to help you here. That was only that case. Eimadom Rabbi Shimon, that was the gabi nekeva la asham. Yes. But remember that was a special case, because the lek hashem asham al imo, you don't have we explained this very carefully yesterday. There's a tremendous difference between giving a nekeva for an ayla or giving a nekeva for an asha. Nekeva for an ayla, yes, there's kedusha zaguf. Rabbi Shimon said that himself. Because at least you have an ayla that is shayach to being in a nekeva, but an asha, we don't have anything.
But
in this case, with a guy dedicated behemoth, we've already clearly made the assumption that the intent is to give it as an ayla. Right? And now you're saying the nekevot that his intent were to give it as an ayla are to be sold. But even Rabbi Shimon agreed that you can't sell a nekevot without a mum if it was set aside for an ayla. It was only a case was set aside for an asham that we had that svara that according to Rabbi Shimon timacher shelo b'mum, you could sell it even as a korban tamim. So what good will it do you to try to answer that he agrees with Rabbi Shimon? So what? We okay on this? So there I feel Rabbi Shimon mode. That's number one. I mean, besides which, I don't even understand what we're talking about. Rabbi Shimon said beferish. I mean, that was the first words on this daf that Rabbi Shimon says, lo olato osa tmura. So why are we arguing? If Rabbi Shimon says, we're coming to discuss this mimer of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon himself says, you set aside a nekeva la oila, it does make a tmura. So why are we saying now over here could be sold without him? That's the case that he was just talking about. You're saying it can be sold for the uses of Shlomim. He himself said it can't be. This makes no sense. There is a shita in Rabbi Shimon that holds. That's the Tani Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda in Rabbi Shimon. Aflo latoin osat murah. That Rabbi Shimon holds even for a korban oila and a keva does not have a level of kedusha that could possibly be mechayev making it a tmura. It may have kedusha that you can't sell it, but it does not have kedusha that it can make a tmura. Okay, so if they, then fine. If that's the case, maybe he holds in this particular case where the guy was never mocked directly, but you can sell it to Letzorch Eshlamim. I note that there's a lot of confusion on a lot of faces over here. Perhaps what we need is a brief overview of this complex sugya. I mean, it sounds complex as we keep going over again and again. Basically, there's a few simple rules here to apply. Maybe it's worth a little review of the underlying fundamental issues. Remember, we have two types of kedusha overall. Two objects of kedusha: a bedek habayit kedusha, which is used basically for expenses of building, repairs, anything that we want to add to the Beit HaMikdash and so on. We're over there. The item itself that I give to the Beit HaMikdash has no sanctity. It has the value of the ownership of Hekdash. And that ownership, of course, I mean, you're not allowed to violate that. That's a terrible sin and so on. But it's not that there's an actual sanctity that would be like on a Sefer Torah or something like that on the thing itself. It's no kedusha. It's just a regular stone. And, you'll sell it. Whatever they decide to do with it, they'll do with it. Then you have a different yi'ud, a different object of kedusha, which is kedushat mizbeah. Those things get sanctity on condition that they're usable by the mizbeah. Now, they're not usable at all for the mizbeah, generally speaking. They will not get any sanctity on it. Now, there are a couple of special cases where that is not really true, and they'll get sanctity on them, on their body, despite the fact that they're not usable. One of those cases is tmurah. That's because the Torah said, even a rab etov, a tov bara, if you exchange an animal that has a mum on it, even though you would not have been able to make this animal kodesh, if you just came to make it kodesh, but if you try to make a tmura, then the Torah makes it kodesh, even though that's normally not something that's done. You also have similar cases by, let's say, a bechor, where it's born with a mum, or vlade kachim. These things can be born unsuitable to the mizbeah, and yet retain a level of kedusha because of the fact that they came from kedusha mizbeah itself. Mm. But those are special cases.
The tmura has kedushat aguf.
Yes,
it can't be brought up to the mizbeah.
It can.
It can, because even with a mum, and even if it's
no.
But if it has a mum.
It cannot be brought up to the mizbeah. It doesn't have special rules vis-a-vis being brought to the mizbeah. But it has special rules in terms of getting kedusha on it.
Kedusha taguf.
Kedusha taguf. So in other words, a tumura that started with a mum is the same as an animal that started without a mum and then got a mum. So if it gets a mum, the kedusha doesn't leave it. If it gets a mum, it's now open to being bought out. Whereas normally you couldn't even buy it out if you wanted to, if it doesn't have a mum and it got real kedusha taguf on it. No blemish, no purchase, no redemption. Okay? That's the difference. Now, what we've been talking about throughout, really, the past couple of prakim, is what usages to be made of types of kedusha that did not come directly from a proper kedusha where a guy says, I want to make this thing kodesh, it was roy for the mizbeach, and so on. Then we have a number of different halakas depending on the type of carbon it is. And we started off with a halakha l'moshe mi-Sinai, which had to do specifically with the korban chatas. In the korban chatas, we had five different categories. And those five categories, some of them are shayach to other korbanas, some of them are only shayach with a little bit of a twist to other korbanas. Because the five categories are a chatas, that is a tamura, not really original katas. That tamura's katas has got us into all of this stuff here. Then, of course, it was a vlad katas, where it gave birth. Now, both tamura and a vlad are called a vlad in an abstract sense. And the source of the kedusha is called the mami, even if it's a male. Yesh eib lemasoret doesn't mean there's a mami. It means that there's a source, fundamental source, right? So an aim is always the fundamental source of things. Okay, so we have a vlad of a chatas, a tumur of a chatas. When it comes to chatas, both of them have to die. There's no kedusha, there's no pidyon, there's no putting, I mean, there's kedusha, but there's no pidyon, there's no putting on the mizbeach. It's just left, basically, to starve. Then you also have, you're not going to miss the review. Then we have a chatas.
Awesome.
Right?
The five again.
I haven't said all five. Okay. I only said two.
What's the context of the five again?
The context of the five is not completely correct, either original kedusha or current status because of a change, such as the death of the owner. Okay. That's the third one. Or such as the fact that the owner already used a different carbon to be mitchaper. So that's not a change in the, that's nitchapru ba'ala be'acher. And, shnitchaper ba'acher. And that, of course, depends. Remember, it's a machlokas whether it was found at the time of the kapara or needed to be lost and only found after the time of the kapara. That's a sub question. And then we also have a case where the chatas simply became too old. So in other words, you needed to have a chatas was a year old. By the time you got this thing, you didn't get bring a kapora yet from something else. But by the time you got,
I got him to bring the death trap.
That's it, the death trap. All right, good. We're going to teach them a lesson.
Thanks.
This is to wake up guys at Daf Yomi. It gives you a 300-volt zap.
It's made in China, don't worry.
If you don't use a pacemaker, it's supposed to be normally not fatal.
Just let me know where a bug
is. It's electric. Typically only it's electric. Not a toy.
It's not a toy. Mamish. Both Moshe and Charles and I both felt the zap.
It looked familiar, didn't it?
Why is
it shaped like a tennis racket?
Well, you'll see in a second when I get a buff
line. No, they know already. Look at that! Just looking at them, they're gone. Okay, so those were our five cases. Again, let's review them. We had a tumuras chatas, a vlad chatas. Those are changes in the actual body. But then we also have the chatas where the owner passed away, or where the owner had brought another carbon in its place. Anyway, now doesn't have any use for it. Or where the chatas got too old now to be used as a carbon and needs to be replaced. Those were the five cases.
What about the case of the vlad? I mean, it's when it became pregnant after its father. It's different than the vlad, isn't it? Vlad's when you're...
No.
No?
That is the vlad chatas.
When it became pregnant afterwards? What if it was carrying the fetus when it was...
Then it's dependent on the machlokas of im shiro mishuyar and uber yarachimo or not.
Okay.
Right? So then it could get a different kedusha on the vlad. All right. Now, the same case... So that's one group of behemoths. That has that special halacha, chatas. Now, when it comes to an arsham, an arsham...
But it does have kedushas aguf, obviously, but it's not the
they have kedushas aguf.
Can you say, like, not 100% kedushas?
No, but it might be 100% kedushas. There's nothing you can do with it. It's out of your hands now. Torah took it out of your hands. You can't use it.
Does it have anything to do with the sex of the animal? Chatas has to be a male, right?
No, chatas has to be a female if it's an individual chatas, and a male if it's a nasis. Okay. The next case that we had was the asham. Now, the din of the equivalent five cases of an asham. And we have exactly the same cases, except for the fact that a male has difficulty having children. And therefore, a vlad asham, we normally wouldn't find, unless somebody made a female an asham. But that leads into a whole different can of worms, which we'll talk about in a moment. But wherever we have an equivalent case of a chatas that will die, the asham is meant to be put out the pasture, and we get a mum, and we then sell it, and it's used for a nedava. What kind of nedava is a machlokes to chacham and Rebbe Eliezer? Is it a nidvat tzibur, and it's put into the box in the Beit HaMikdash, or is it a nidvat yachid, which we're going to get to later today also, a review of that machlokes. Then we have the other didim, such as the Shlomim and the Toda and so on. When it came to that, the Mishnah says, look, there's no problem. Mura of a Shlomim, a Vlad of a Shlomim, it's just a Shlomim, like any other Shlomim. Ad Sof Kol HaDorot. Then we had a Machlokas in that context, whether it makes a difference if it's a first generation Shlomim or a second generation Shlomim. But that was an aside, because we made a gezeira. Maybe the guy is going to end up trying to incorporate Shlomim Universal or something. Yeah, it's okay. But I mean, essentially, the halacha is unique dinim apply to the five cases of chatas, other unique dinim to four cases of osham, and then when it comes to the eila, comes to the Shlomim, comes to the teda, it's fine. We treat it basically the way we treat the mother, again, the mother in an abstract sense. And there are minor differences. There's the Korban Torah. We won't bring Lechem with it. We have a special pasuk that's the Akrivanu, but not for the Temura and so on. But essentially, it's a kosher carb. Fine. Now, the odd case out that has kept us busy for a couple of days over here is when you give the wrong type of animal for the carbon that your stated intent was. So let's say you give an akeva for an ayla. Okay, we've had three such cases. We had a case of an akeva for an ayla, an akeva for an asham, and an akeva for a pesach. Now what's interesting is that those turn out to be three different worlds. Because an akeva for an ayla, it turns out that everybody agrees that there's a kedusha that is chal on that, and what you need to do is you need to basically let it get a mum, because it does have kedushat aguf, use the money, and that money should go actually for your oila.
That's because there was an oath?
That's because in some sense an oila at least is open to being in a cable. When it comes...
As an oath.
When it comes to Korban Pesach, there's also some elements, which is why we had today's discussion of Rebbe, yesterday's discussion of Abaye Barava, in what Rebbe Shimon's logic is. Because generally speaking, remember, Rebbe Shimon is the one who generally will hold that when something is unsuitable, completely unsuitable, it doesn't have any kedusha. It just, it has kedusha damim, but it doesn't have any physical kedusha. The Kedushat Damim, mind you, over here, do not get that confused with the difference between Bet HaGabayit and Mizbeach. This is a case where it's Kedushas Damim, but for the Mizbeach. It's not owned by the Bet HaGabayit. We have an opposite case.
What do they do with the money?
They use that money to buy dessert for the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is always hungry, and you like to feed it.
Doesn't Bet
HaGabayit
also do that with the leftover money?
No. Now we have the opposite case. The truth is, I meant this to be the first part of the introduction, not to get back to it here, when I started telling you there's two different Iyudim. But there's also two different types. Back up a minute. Okay. Those two different Iyudim, which means, in other words, what is my purpose? To give it to Mizbeach or Bet HaGabayit? But within those purposes, there's also different types of Kedusha. There is the monetary kedusha in which it's owned by Hegdash, but owning a rock doesn't make it sanctified. It just makes it owned by Hegdash, like stealing from charity, and therefore you have to treat it. It belongs to God, but doesn't mean it's sanctified. Where you give it to the mizbeach, normally if it's usable by the mizbeach, it has an actual sanctification on its body, which is called kedushat haguf. But that doesn't mean that's the only way it can be done. Because we also discussed at great length variations on that theme. For instance, somebody who tries to dedicate to the Mizbeach an animal, but only for purposes of its money. He wants the Mizbeach to own this animal and to decide what to do with it. So let's say he gives a Nekeva for its dummy. Now the halacha is over there. Any animal that is, we just had this again within the past few days, any animal that is capable of being kadosh kedushat haguf, and you give it as kedushat damim, gets kedushat haguf, if it's given to the mizbeach. But suppose you do the opposite. That's today's gemara, is another example of that. You give an animal that could be put on the mizbeach, But you give it to the Benekabayas. Over there we have a different rule that kicks in. And the different rule there is, anything suitable for the Mizbeach, owned by the Beit HaMikdash, cannot escape the Mizbeach.
No matter how you give it.
No matter how you give it. The question is, what's done with its money? That's a different issue. But ultimately, the animal itself is meant to be used by the Mizbeach, and that's what we're going to make sure happens. How do we make sure that that happens? Well, what we do is, we sell it for purposes of the Mizbeach. Someone is going to use it. But since the monetary value is owned by the section of the Beit HaMikdash that is responsible for repairs and maintenance, the money is used for repairs and maintenance. The animal itself ends up on the Mizbeach because somebody bought it in order to use it on the Mizbeach. And that's what we make sure its sale would be. Was normally, if you had dedicated your old car to the Beit HaMikdash, they would sell it to anybody for anything they want to use it for. They wouldn't say, you can only have this car if you intend to bring it up as a carbon shlomi.
Chabad uses it as a mitzvah.
Maybe something
like that. It seems to be an extra step, though.
It is.
Why do you need the extra step when you have a carbon? Why doesn't it, even though it's for damim, why doesn't it automatically go up to be, let's say, an olah?
Because the Bedek Abayit has no responsibility to provide behemoths to the Mizbeach. It's a separate division.
So it goes through this.
That's like asking Xerox why the printer division is, shouldn't be responsible for them. Come on.
Okay.
Go talk to the CEO. Let's see, he'll throw you out of the office. What are you trying to get the gizmo away? I don't have enough on my mind. I got to go worry about your components.
You do.
You got to make sure it's sold for the right purpose. Okay, so that's the basic outline. Within this rather simple outline, if you think about it. I mean, it's got a lot of elements, but it's not the interrelationships are not complex. The reason it seems complicated is because a lot of these ideas, you haven't heard the terminology before. But once you see each thing in its place, it's, and Richie gets a little couple of drinks under his belt, and we're ready to roll. Yeah.
There's also the aspect of the details in each corbin.
Yeah, okay, but that very rarely comes up in these discussions. Within this structure, we've had a little bit of variation in terms of how to look at the cases that were not directly covered by the rules, such as the guy who gives the nekeva for the Karban Pesach, or the guy gives the nekeva for the Karban Ashim. And there we had a fascinating new idea that Rabbi Shimon came up with in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon's idea is that where you don't have a variant of the Karban that is usable in the way that you gave it, so it uses a different sex than the one that you've used, in that case, the Kedusha can't be chal at all. Because what you've done is, it's an interesting thing, if you try to give an animal for its value alone to the Mizbeach, it would become Kadosh Kedusha Zaguf. But if you give it the wrong Kedusha Zaguf, then it only has Kedusha Tamim. It's a completely new variation on the theme. You see? So it's possible, this is really curious, it's possible to give a behemoth with the intent that it should be Kodesh Kedushas HaGuf to the Mizbeach, it's Roy for the Mizbeach, and yet it has no Kedushas HaGuf. And the difference is spelled out in the fact that it can be sold without a bum. That is really a fascinating, it's a third variation on the type of Kedushas you're going to be able to give things, right? Fascinating. So now the question is, Rabbi Shimon Shita, how far does it go? How about if you give a female for Karban Pesach, which is ridiculous, except for one thing, and that is that a Karban Pesach that ends up being left over, the money ends up being left over after Pesach, automatically becomes a shlomim. But a shlomim can be brought by a nekeva. So one way of looking at it would be, well, there exists a variant of nekeva. Maybe that would be enough. That was today's discussion. Is that considered to be enough to give it a Kedusha Taguf or not? And then, because already we're talking about these figures, we spoke about the question of what the guy's intent is when he dedicates everything he owns. And everything he owns includes a couple of animals out in his barn. Whether he intends to give it to the Berek HaBayit, intends to give it to the Mizbeach. somehow I get the feeling that not everybody feels this is as fascinating as I do.
Well, we need a little misachim with all this korbanot.
If we had a barbecue going in the corner and the smell of roasting meat, it might
He's recommending the wine.
A wine would probably work the other way.
So if it doesn't work, it defaults to the lower level of Kedusha.
According to Shimon.
In other words, there has to be some Pesach somehow that would work on the higher level, but there's no way that it defaults down to Kedusha's level.
Yeah, then that's all that you did, is you gave it, but it can only be useful in terms of its value.
If you say it's nonsense, it doesn't work, it doesn't, it's nothing. Why does it default?
Well, it's a complex question. First of all, we have the general sheet of Rabbi Meir, then Ein Adam Motzi Dvar Levatala, but we're going to get to that machlokas later on, and that's in places where he literally said something totally crazy. Over here, we could understand him to mean that whatever Kedusha would be shayach on it to bring it for an Asha, and the only Kedusha shayach on it is the Kedusha's Damim. It's not as if he said, and if not, I don't want it to be Kaddish at all. You know. So there, everybody would agree it would default, but we'll see that there's even a sheet that it holds in worse cases than that. We read meaning into a person's words so that he's not completely crazy. That's a big machlokas, actually. It would have been useful to have Rabbi Meir's sheet for the Bush-Kerry debate. But I mean, the point is, in order to say that somebody must mean something when he's saying something, you know, it's a useful sheet to figure out. Maybe he did mean something.
Does that apply to politicians?
Maybe we have the spin doctor.
I'm a physicist. I'm
looking at the very good child.
You got one land? I need the land, that's all.
You can't get him to land just on that.
It doesn't work in the air? Just kind of bar stuff.
I'm just imagining
cat. I can't use it on that cat, huh?
And all
this stuff.
It rewarms the rug.
In other words, when you say that this korban, which is not roi, is this tachiyah, does everyone agree to that?
Does everyone agree that a kedusha dechuya cannot give its offshoot the right to be on the mizbeach?
That's what Rabbi Shimon argues against. How does that view?
No, he only argues against it if it's completely without any basis at all.
So what is Kedusha Dechuya?
Our point over here is that since you can't give more, what we're bothered by is how can you give more koyach to the child, the so-called child, than you give to the source? Unless there was something in that special case of the oil, but over here there wasn't that. That was our problem. All right, we're finally ready here for Saba Josh, who has been waiting very, very patiently, and soon it'll be Chatash Ovah Shemasa if we wait any longer, huh?
Look, the Heilige Mishnah.
Tzmurat Hashem. Somebody makes a tzmura of a korban Hashem. Makes a tzmura, the tzmura could be a female too. And females can have children. So the vlad of a tzmura, and the vlada, for that matter, vlada, tzav kol olam. And I don't care how long this goes on, the din is that you let them get a mum, whereas Rabbi Eliezer says, no, no, no. In this case, you have to let them die. It's really strange. Why in this case? Rabbi Elazar Omer, Yavi Bidameha Olot, which seems to just be repeating what the Tanakhama said. The Tanakhama said that you should let it get a mum and bring in a dova. I mean, a dova means an ola. And he says, no, you don't do that, you bring an ola. I mean, same thing. I was going to ask, it's not the same thing. And Osham, Shemetu Ba'ala, but it's interesting, we separate out the two cases. Because you have the Tumrat Hashem and the Vlad of the Tumrat.
it's time to go to prayer.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying their best, but we will not be defeated.
Goyim, goyim, goyim.
I mean, all you guys listening in here, just a typical day in the Rova Yehudi. The Kohanim in the background, the church bells in the other background, the guns and the attack helicopters overhead. You know, Ezra thought he was like talking something really special. Says, and half of the guys are holding guns, and the other half are building the Beit HaMikdash. I'm like, you know, this has been going on for 50 years. All right. So here, the second case is where the Asham's owner died, and over there, or they used a different car between Bechaber on it. You see, think we go over old territory over here. Once again, it should go around, get a mum, be sold, used for nadava. Once again, Rebbe Eliezer says, no. Actually, it should be allowed to die. And Rebbe Eliezer again repeats himself, saying, well, don't bring it a dava, bring it oila. Now we ask, what is that supposed to mean? Halo af de dava oila. Yeah, I mean, what's the difference between saying, bring it for an adav or bring it for an oil? Isn't that the same thing? Mabein divrei Rabbi Elazar le divrei Chachamim. Did they say anything different? Yes, there is a difference. The difference is, as we've seen before, is it an olat sibur for kayetz hamizbeah, or is it a personal ola? And what's the difference? Bizman shiba ola, if he's bringing it as a personal ola, which is Rabbi Elazar shita, first of all requires smicha. It's got to do a lot of studying before you can bring it as an oila. I mean, how else would it get smicha? Maybe nisachim. Okay, you have to put your hand on it. You have to put your hand on it before the shvita. The owner is sabach, his weight on it. And furthermore, he has to bring those nisachim. And those nesachim, he has to pay for, nesachim mishalot. And if he is a kohen, the man, the owner himself is a kohen, he gets to do the whole avoda. Because a kohen who brings his own korban can insist that he be the one to do the avoda on it. Doesn't have to share it with the other members of the staff at that time, the mishmar. And not only that, but normally when we have a korban oila, the skins are given out to all of the kohenim on the mishmar. But if the Kohen himself is the owner of that carbon, he keeps the skins for himself. However, Bizman Shehi Nidava, if it's being brought as a Nidava instead of as an Olas Yach, then there's no smicha. A carbon tzibur doesn't have smicha, unless it's being brought on a specific sin, like the Karlam Davar. Eino mevi ale on the sachim. The one who's bringing it, he's not responsible for the Sakhim, and the Sakhim come from the Tzibur. What's more, even if he were a Kohen, and he was the one who made this original Tumura Sakhim and so on, even if he's a Kohen, he cannot claim the Avoda for himself because he's basically no different than anybody else on it, since this is a Nidvat Tzibur, an Avodata, the Ora, the Avoda on it, and the skin shall Anshe Mishmar belong to the entire staff on duty that week, which is called the Mishmar, and not to him personally.
Throw it into the pool.
Exactly. Good Tzrich. And we need both sets of arguments in this Mishnah. The first set discussing the Tmurat Asham and the Vlad Tmurat. The second set discussing the Asham where the owner had died or whether he had been mitaper with another Asham. Why do we need it? Because the Yashmin and Asham, let's say we would only have known the case of an Asham where you had used, instead of the case of the Tmurat Asham, the Vlad Asham. So the Asham where you had already gotten a Kapora. And we would have said, well, look at that, Rebbe Eliezer says Yamutu. I would have said, yeah, of course, I understand why. Because it's very easy to get confused in a case of an Asham that was lost, recovered, and now this Asham was recovered after the Kapora. And the din is that he says, well, if he wouldn't have said Yamutu, he would have agreed with the Chachamim. We would have said what? okay, use that money and sell it and use that money directly for an adava. It would have been easy for me to make the mistake of thinking in a case where I found it now, before the kapora had taken place. It was lost. I went ahead and I looked for it, couldn't find it, went out and spent another $50 to get myself another usher. I didn't yet bring the other usher. Now somebody comes running up and says, we found it. So I say, oh, we found it. Okay, you're supposed to let it get a moon. That's what I remember last time this thing happened. You're supposed to let it get a moon and bring the money to use for an oila. Now that's a big no-no. Because if I find it before kapora, actually it's usable as an asha. If I try to bring an asha for an oila, I'm being over on an iser. Right? So therefore, I understand why Rabbi Eliezer says, in that case, no, I mean, that would be terrible, because if you get mixed up between before kapora and after kapora, so then you might use it for an oila, and then the halakha is that it's meant to be only an asha. You can't use it for an oila. So maybe Rebbe Eliezer made a gezer and Bishop de Gozer liachar kapara ato lifnei kapara. It's easy for people to get confused. He said, you know what? It's better not to get involved in this at all. Just don't use it. But, I mean, when it comes to the Tumurat Hashem, the vlad of the Tumurat of the Hashem, what is there to get confused about? There's nothing to get confused of. Sell it. Use the money for a korban ha'ila. There, in that case, Eimah Modeh l'Rabbanan, and he would agree, I might think, to the Rabbanan, and he would say, just sell it and use the money. On the other hand, Yashmina Hatam, let's say he would have told me only that case, the Torah Hashem the Vlad, I would have said, okay, that's where the Rabbanan said that it is okay to use the money for an oila. But in a case where the owner had used the asham, had gotten his kapor from another asham, agave asham, maybe they would be motive to Rabbi Eliezer, and in that case we have to be gozer the achar kapora, because maybe the same thing happened with me kapora. Now there's also another girsa here which is very enlightening, and which all the Rishonim bring, and the Gra points out that clearly that was Rashi's girsa here also, and that is, if you take a look in Rashi, four lines above the long lines in Rashi, he brings the Lashon Yerushalmi. Let's say we would have only known the case of Tumura. I would have said, by Yikama Rabbi Eliezer Tamut, the reason that he said that it has to die over there is because the Ati Lach Lufi Ovishtem Omdot Haheg Deshva Tumura. Look, you've got two animals. It's the same thing in the inverse. If you've got a Tumura, you've got the Tumura and the original Lashem standing in front of you. So you say to yourself, maybe what I can do is, it's easy to switch and give the first one, the original, to let it get a mum, and the second one is going to be used as an asham, because you figure, well, since ultimately,
get this guy.
Since ultimately it's money is meant on the mizbeach one, what's the difference? If you would do that, says the Gemara, you'd be doing two separate Yisurim. First of all, you're bringing a tumura of an asham, which you're not allowed to bring, as we already said before. And that was the rak kodeshek. You're going to be over on an asay. You'll be over on a lokal meshim yisina. Furthermore, you're bringing with the value of the asham an oila. And you're not allowed to switch the asham for the oila because you didn't get a kapora yet from the other one. So no matter how you look at it, you're really going to be in trouble if you do that. And therefore, maybe we're more makbid when it comes to the Tamura case than we would be on the Nischapra Balea case. So both cases are specific, both, according to this Girsa, both Legabi Rabbi Eliezer and Legabi the Rabbot. In other words, in a sense, there's a greater reason to be Gozer for Tamura. In a sense, there's a greater reason to be Gozer for Nischapra Balea Ba'acher. Because there you could have a Gezer Lefzei Kapora to Le'acher Kapora. Omer of Nachman, Omar Rabba Baravua, Machloket Liachar Kapara. I just want to make it very clear, the only Machlokas over here was in a case where the Baalim had already got Kapara. But if you hadn't got Kapara, and you find this, you have this Asham here in front of you, So, Divrei HaKol, I mean, if you got a Vlad that's kosher for an Ashram, why can't you bring it as an Ashram directly? So, Divrei HaKol Hu Atzmo Yikarev Ashram. To which Rava says, that's a big no-no. Shtei Tshuvas, but I've got two ways of showing you that that's not true. First of all, how can you use a Tumura, or the Vlad of the Tumura, over here as an Ashram? That would mean that you're going to be using a Dover Hababa Avera. You only got this thing by doing an Avera. You were over on an Issa D'Oraisa, making a Tumura. So now you're going to say, well, it's a mitzvah Hababa Avera, but it's okay to bring it against a carbon. You can't bring a carbon and get a kapara with something that came for an Avera. And furthermore, we just had yesterday the Tani Rebbe Chanina L'siyur L'Rebbe Yoshua Ben Levi, where actually, Rebbe Chia, the Gersa we had before was, that Rebbe Chia brought a proof to Rebbe Yoshua ben Levi from the word the keves echad, if you recall, that the keves, who is Vlad Rishon Karev, and Vlad Sheni Eno Karev, that only the Vlad itself can be Karev, and not the Vlad of a Vlad. The case over here, the Vlad of a Tmura is the Vlad of a Vlad. It's a biological Vlad, which is the child of a conceptual Vlad, and the Pusik specifically disallowed a second generation. It ended up, it isn't really the Pusik, it was the Gzira, but it was an Esmach, but I mean, certainly don't try to tell me that Reb Eliezer agrees, because I mean, the whole point was that we brought even an Esmach from the Torah, that he doesn't agree. So what are you talking about? That's a mistake. Look, if something was said, you're saying it over wrong. This is what must have been said. Hachi Yitma. Amr Reb Nachman, the way to put it is like this. Amr Reb Nachman, Amr Rabba Baravua, Machloket Kodem Kapara, Aval La'achar Kapara. The other way around. If you have it, La'achar Kapara, then everybody is Moda that you don't need to sell it. You could bring the animal itself as an Oila. If it's a Vlad of a Tmura, why sell it for purposes of an Oila? Why not just actually bring it as an Ayla directly? Now, wait. But what about the other thing about second generation? I thought you said second generation you can't bring as an Ayla. What about Hatani Rebbe Chiel Asiel Rebbe Yeshua Ben Levi? Yeah, okay, you're right. I mean, that's a problem, but at least the other problem is not a problem.
What about the thing about the Devorim Mi'Avera?
Well, we could maybe talk about Vlad Avlad, but Vlad itself wasn't the Avera, only the case of the Tzmura. He had said even the case of the Tzmura.
Thinks he's so to dedicate out. A homeless second to something that's, you know, that's not allowed anyway.
I didn't push the button. Example of how irrelevant things are so relevant. He basically uses Tumura as an example of the chok aspect of Torah and what one is supposed to learn about it from it, about human psychology, the way that his discussion of chok and mishpat is in Perek Dalet of Hilchos Tumura, in which he closes the issue of Tumura. But maybe we'll talk more about it in this season. Especially, I mean, if you're going to have a Masechta, at least throw in some fun parts. I mean, we only had one page of fun, really.
That's right, with the Iska. What is the...
Aksa.
Well, I guess the old heart attack and the goat was also okay. Also crossing. Okay, that's a problem. Now, Rabbi Avin Bar Chia asked Rabbi Avin Bar Kahana. Shkeach Kohen. You had us in mind, I hope.
Completely. I'm sure with the, you know, the power reached...
No question.
The timing was probably right also. It was like between the noise from the Goyim and the noise from the army and the
yeah, what happened? They're not using a loudspeaker this year?
Yes. Maybe it was too loud.
Really? I see. You've got, you're insulated from the sound a little bit up there.
Right.
Very nice.
Just wait till you hear our friends scream for a little while.
Well, that guy.
Now, Rav Avin Bar Chiya opens up an old question, which is a little disturbing. He wants to know, if you set aside an akeva to an usha, what's the din if it has a child, if it's a male, can you bring it as an oila? Now, didn't we discuss that before? Why doesn't he just answer it from Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina's Gemara, where we just had yesterday? The Yomar Moda Rabbi Elazar, he says that Rabbi Elazar was Moda in that case, and it cannot be brought because there was no shame Osham al Imai, and therefore it doesn't go two levels. We had just last night we discussed that. Where was he for Daf Yomi?
He wasn't listening.
Losha Miele, that's right.
There you go. He wasn't listening. He was napping.
He didn't hear. He didn't hear that mimer. Anyway, so he asked, Omalei, Benar Karavala, you can bring the child as a dollar. What? My, how could he say that? Adkan lo kamer Rabbi Elazar elabafish lekeva leola. I thought we said that it was a special case where you give it a keva for a carbon oil over there, you've got that olas haof business, and therefore ika shemo lalimo. But by asham, the leka shemo lalimo, you said even Rabbi Elazar is moda. And he said, Ambale, taiba the Rabbi Elazar, lavish of the shemo lalimo. He disagrees. It says, how do you turn this off? He disagrees, and he says, you got him?
I got a partial hit, but he's a goner.
Don't get him mixed up with the
food. He's in the room. Yeah, he's in
between.
I think
he's not become a wolf.
So he disagrees with the whole fundamental contention that we've had all along here, namely, that Rav Shimon's reasoning is based on the Ola Sa'of Svar, and that there's an ikashem ola al imo which does not apply to the korban asham. And as a matter of fact, if you recall, remember yesterday we were asking Rabbi Chiya, what does he think he's telling? What's the chiddush that he's telling us? I mean, we know this, and he said that the reason that he feels it's necessary to say it is because you might have thought that Rabbi Elazar's reasoning was not based on ikashem ola al imo because of ola sa'ov, but rather was based on the overall rule that something that is suitable on any level for the Mizbeach gets Kedusha Taguf. That's what you might have thought, and he's clarifying that that's not the case. Well, it appears that that was his opinion, but that Reb Avin Bar Kahana doesn't hold that. And Reb Avin Bar Kahana says it has nothing to do with Shemo Lalimo. It's Ela Mishum de Chazila Akravats, because basically the Vlad is a tamim, has no problems being put on the Mizbeach, Bahainami, Chozilakrava, and over here, why can't we use this animal, which is not have the Tumura Sasham and the Vlada the Tumura, has no mum, it's suitable for Akrava, why don't we simply bring it directly? Oh, why don't we bring it simply directly? Did you forget the Vladan, of Vlad Vladan, Ad Sof, Kol Olam, Yavi B'dameyam Ayla. I mean, it was just like a minor issue in the Mishnah and so on. And all of a sudden, why not? The Mishnah says, Beferish, you can use its value, Dameyam, yes. You read Dameyam. Dameyam means its value, in, but Ad Smolo. You can't use it itself. What are you trying to do here? Well, when it says he can't use the Vlad, that means if the Vlad was a female. I'm talking about if the Vlad was a male. Oh, right. At Sof Kol Adairis. Every single animal it ever gave birth to, the Mishnah's talking about its females all the way down. Come off it, baby. So what are you talking about? Well, don't you yold on a keva? You're saying, Atzof Olam, lo holit chad zocher, that never had a single zocher. The Mishnah says, Atzof Kol Olam. That doesn't come to tell me whether it was a male or female. And you're claiming, no, if it was a male, of course, you put the male on the Mizbeach. He says, look, you guys, you come from Babel. You say these type of idiotic terutzim all the time. So how about if I shove one in your face for a change? Mishanina shinui v'chiki pavloi. I'm giving you one of those bavel shots, okay? Kegon shiyod in the cave, that's all for olam. Yeah, that's the case, right. And the cave is still the end of the time. How does it feel?
The immortal line, it's done so.
It's a great
move, it's not.
I gotta give you one of those dumb bubble parents. It's wild.
Bob Solomon is not here to hear this, but the cave is.
Now, there is another Gersa here that says that since he's telling him, I'm giving you some dumb Bovel answer, I mean, he must have had a better answer somewhere. What was the better answer? Can he give us the better answer? I mean, you don't play games like this unless you have something better to say. So, what was the better answer? Now, there's a number of different Gersas. What was the better answer? Now, the Gra says, Hasa mishum da asilach lufe. His girsa, he thinks that this is Rashi's girsa, is that in a case where you've got the vladvadas and so on, it's easy to lose track of the difference between Zakhar and the Keva. And that's simply a gezeira that we're afraid you're going to get it confused. But in a case where something is roy directly to be used on the Mizbeach, so then, why would I need to come up to a svara the ika shame elas because of elas ha'ov? I think the Rebbe Shimon is saying something very straightforward. If you're not going to forget where it came from, it's a first generationer, then it's suitable for the mizbeach. Use it for the mizbeach. That's all he's saying. And you don't need to come on to all of these distinctions. Basically, all the Mishnah was saying was introducing a new question as to whether we have gezeiras. So remember, these gezeiras have sort of messed us up. We had a number of, we had this gezerah before kapora, atulah acha kapora. Gezerah, you may think that in a keva would be the same thing as a zocher. Over here, gezerah shemiya gadel miyam adarim adarim, and your intent is to go into business with psulei amukdashim. This warps the straightforward sugya. But okay, once we know what the ikardinim are, and we know what the gezerahs are, then we stick with it, and we're happy, and we can sing v'samach v'chagecha v'yayisah.